Welcome to Emmanuel Christian Church, the house of Judah, the house at the gate. Please join us as we'll be listening to Apostle Vincent Luan, the head pastor of the Emmanuel Christian Churches.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this service. We pray for the reading of your word. May your word turn our hearts towards you. May we become wiser and better. May we not be angry, but may we change. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. This month is a month of youth, and we just came from our 3 days youth conference, Kingdom Design, and we are trying to finalize that this morning. And we are talking about maturing youth. The book, the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. It says to us, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. The assumption is all fathers know God. He says, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. So we want to encourage the fathers to love God, be an example to your children, encourage them to come to church, show a high level of honor and respect, and your children will do the same. The verse continues, says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abided in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So here the scripture gives us an understanding that as a young person, you are strong, not only physically, but part of the strength is the spiritual strength that the word of God abides in you. May the word of God abide in you in the name of Jesus. He says, young men, the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So as a Father's Day gift, as a youth weekend, the key to our breakthrough is the word of God. The word must abide in us. The word must be grounded and rooted in our hearts. And here he says, the young man is strong. He has overcome because the word abides in him. May the word abide in you in the name of Jesus. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17 says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May you abide forever in the name of Jesus. Now, there are things that I challenge to us. The Bible gives us another. It says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. So our life is not to be defined by the things we have. Is that fine? Your life is not supposed to be defined by your house, by your car, by the clothes you put on, by the hairstyle, or whatever that makes you. But your life must be defined by the word of God. Some of us, we are defined by the things we have. We are defined. If you lose those things, that's why people become suicidal. Because when they lose things, they think they have lost their life. Listen, all the things we have, we can have them again if we lose them. So we are defined by the word of God. You must allow the word to define you, not the things you have. You are not your house. Can you tell your neighbor, you are not your house? You are not your clothes. You are not your hairstyle. Yes. People are thinking they are their car. When you buy the car, they will even say, let me take you selfie, sit in, and let me take you a picture. The salesman wants you to buy the car. Says, you look nice. I remember some young people, they say, I even bought some sunglasses for my car. Car is transport. It's as good as a taxi, except that it's driven privately. But it doesn't increase your value. Your value has been set from the beginning. Hallelujah. Can you tell your neighbor, my value cannot be increased by material things. As a young person, make up your mind. The fact that somebody dresses better than you doesn't make them better. Most of the people that are dressed here, they're still children at the university. It's not even their money. It's your parents' clothes. Yes. The cell phone you are taking selfies with, you didn't buy it. You don't even know how much it costs. So, if you have Mahlangu, you are fine. Do you understand? This is a phone. There's nothing more. But you cannot take pride in these things because then you will be deceived. Most people are deceived because they think they have. Let's listen. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So the word must be rooted, grounded. It says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will it will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the word of God will build you up. When you take the word, we imbibe it in your heart, is what will build you, is what will move you forward. John 17:17. It says, sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. Hallelujah. If the boy tells you you look beautiful, tell him I know. Or you don't. Don't you know you are pretty? Eh? So when you say, oh, you look so nice, you say, thank you very much. I know. Is that fine? It's not first time I hear. Fathers, you must tell your children you look good so that they don't get deceived by sugar daddies. Is that fine? Your value, your prettiness is always there. Don't be intimidated. Psalm 119, verse 105, says, your word is a lamp to my feet. You want to go far, let the word of God guide you. Let the word of God lead you. The Bible says, behold, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the good news. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the beginning, people called us fools. They were the ones who were fools, not us. Psalm 119, verse 130. I met one person. He was pushing a wheelbarrow, no teeth. When we were growing up, he was the boy in town. I don't know if you get what I'm talking about. When we were growing, he was using his parents' money thinking that he's rich. You know, there are children like that. Yeah. You are not rich. It's your parents who are rich. So be humble. Calm down. Tell your neighbor, calm down. All these things we know, it's not you. It's your parents. Is that fine? So don't develop some attitude, pride of life. We'll see when you start working. We hope you have an ear and a good heart to learn from your parents. Because if they are successful, you're supposed to be successful. One day, I was getting into a very important institution. I was taking some people. I drove my car. And as I parked, I found one of the guys who used to be difficult at school. His mom was a principal. His father was a principal. So he had everything that we desire to have. When I got in, he was the guy on the gate taking my ID. And I say, of all people, you can't be here. For some of us, this is our way up. I don't know you get. There are certain things that you are not supposed to be there. I was shocked. When I got home, I told my wife. My wife didn't know who I'm talking about because she doesn't know the person. I said, you won't believe the person I met. This person is some of the most affluent people in our community. Their parents were affluent, but they behave like they are their parents. Now their parents are on pension and very old. Eh? No matter with somebody. Tell your neighbor, your parents' things are not yours. It's a privilege. Yes. Don't get drunk. We know the hairstyle is good, but you didn't pay for it. So be kind. Is that fine? The clothes you are putting on, you didn't buy. So be kind. Don't suddenly behave like, you know, I am arrived. Look at me. We haven't worked. Started working, we will see you. Is that fine? Be humble. The Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. May you receive understanding this morning in the name of, may the wisdom of God come upon your life in the name of Jesus. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. When the word is rooted and grounded in you, no man shall be able to stand before you. Hallelujah. All the bread you need, all the water you need is in the word of God. I've said this some time past. Nobody needs to work to eat. It's too deep. You can't get it. Eating is free. God has already provided for it. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither spin nor toil. Yes. It's your heart that has gone out that makes you to work hard. And you are thinking hard work will reward. It's not hard work. It's the blessing that rewards. There are people who are working much harder. Steve Jobs was working hard. And they say he wrote that before he died, that nobody could take my sickness. Even if I have money, my money could not take my sickness. I don't know if you understand. I say, I don't know if you understand. The fact that you are healthy, it's not like you are better than somebody else. It's just the grace of God. That's why I say to people, just get sick. Then you will know you have no power. You realize that your opinions don't matter. Yes. For now you have an opinion. That's good. But if we don't ground ourselves in the scriptures, the Bible says the word is the only thing that will remain. So we are built in the word. We are built in the word. May the Lord have mercy. We are talking about maturing youth. Three things, then we close. What will sustain you as a person, and specifically as a young person? Number one, sacrifice. You must be willing to die to yourself. Postpone gratification. Most people don't want to postpone gratification. They want it now. I always say, in the church here, we clap for you, not because you are the greatest, but because you are our relative. We are going to heaven together. Is that fine? So when you sing, when I finish preaching, people say, oh, Pastor, it was powerful. We are the same relative. If you don't praise me, who will? But it must not get to my head. We are just the same. The difference is that I came before you. No, it's true. I came before you. If you came before me, you will be teaching possibly today. I learned before you could learn. So I'm making you to learn what I've learned so that you can do what I'm doing. Am I to somebody? So sacrifice is a key to greatness. You must be willing to sacrifice. Don't celebrate too early. Most of our people, they celebrate too early. They graduate this week. They get a job next week. They get a letter of appointment the following week. They go and buy the car. Even they have not earned the first salary. Tell your neighbor, I think he's talking about you now. Tell him, he has started now. I know this guy. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. It says, who to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princesses feast in the morning? In Africa, our leaders are children. They feast when? In the morning. Immediately, somebody become president. First thing, they go and buy cars. Yeah, they change all the cars. In South Africa, it's the same complaint. Even though the previous minister just, this car is two years old. I don't want that. You know, I was told a story which was painful. They said, you know, how many ministers they've been changing in our country? They said another minister came like 6 months after they had. He says, take everything out. I want my own furniture. And they said the previous one as well did the same thing. Take everything out. I want my own furniture. I said, oh, these people live like they are rich. These are poor of the poor. If you go to their village, even their house was not even a brick house. It was a mud house. Can you tell your neighbor, don't forget where you come from? Yes. I was shocked. I said, then what happens to all the furniture? They said, we will have to find office for them somewhere. Because now I have come in, I need a new car. Yet there is a car that has been running. Huh? If we appoint a new pastor, this stage is gone. He wants a new stage. He's the son of the poor. Poor people have a bad self-image of themselves. May the Lord deliver you from this spirit in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if the neighbor paints their house green, pink, yellow every week. It's their paint, it's their money. Why should it bother you? They bought the biggest sofa. Why should it bother you? You are not them. Is that fine? Is that fine? Yeah. You don't have to change the menu because somebody has come to your house. You know, somebody has just arrived. Then you are asking, what are we going to eat? No, we have cooked chicken livers. Listen, you didn't tell us you are coming. You just arrived. Guess what you are going to eat? Chicken livers. I'm not going to go out of my way. You didn't tell me you are coming. Why should I break my bank for you? If you tell me I'm coming, I tell you, I'll prepare. I'll slaughter a chicken for you. Is that fine? Yes, I'll make some stew gravy on the side with meat, not just gravy, tomatoes, and onion. No. Because I want to create an impression that if you tell me, I do something about it. Am I telling somebody? Tell your neighbor, you have a very good self-image of yourself. Sacrifice is important. The Bible says, the princess, it says, who to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princess feast in the morning? Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princesses feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Some of us are still drunk. You are getting married. You don't have. When I got married, I asked my wife, do you have the money? She said, no. Do I have the money? I said, no. I asked my wife, does your father have the money? No. Does my father have the money? No. We are not going to the bank. So we married. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My ring was less than 100 rand, but those years were taken 29 years ago. So 100 rand today might be 1,000 rand. I don't know. But that was it. And then we went to church in the afternoon. After church, Bri. You know Bri? She's chakalaka. Buns. You know buns? Bread rolls. Yeah. And pap. Lot of pap. And meat. That was it. I'm still married. Look at me. There was no deco. There was no deco. No expensive deco. When you do counseling, you are talking to people, hey, tell me, what is the plan of the wedding? They will tell you. Hey, they've already spent 250 plus Mauritius trip and honeymoon. And I'm asking, the money, where is it coming from? We have tried to save and we have gone to Machonisa, you know. We have borrowed some money from the bank. I say, the money you have raised, you could buy a townhouse. If you were able to save 100,000, go and buy a house as a gift for yourself and your wife. You are just getting married. You don't need to make party for anyone. You come here, I'll immediately after the service. So-and-so, do you take so-and-so? Yes. Do you take so-and-so? Yes. Bless you. You go. Nothing more. But the poor celebrating the money, they want to look rich. Yeah. The car they drive, you will see. I had a person who stayed with me. If I was earning 1,000, he spent 600 on the car. It's a true story. The person couldn't afford the rent. Driving a big car. Where are you going to sleep? In the back of the car. Oh, somebody says, no, they told me because of my qualification, it must show. To who? To who? For what? Why do you want to do things to impress people you don't like? Those people don't care. Even if you have got a new car, you put on your suit, they don't come to church that day. You are thinking, oh, they will see me. That's the day they don't come to church. You are frustrated. And some of us put on very expensive. My wife said I shouldn't say it, but she's not here, so I'll say it. Some of us put on very expensive clothes, and they don't sit well on us. You have to tell us. You have to tell us. You know, this suit. This shoe. Because we can't see how much your shoe is worth. They are just shoes. All of them are the same. Tell your neighbor, you are suffering from a poverty mindset. Yeah. They want to be celebrated now. 2 Samuel 24:24, the Bible says, David said, I will not give to the Lord what cost me nothing. You must learn to sacrifice. You can't come to church every time everybody's doing everything for you. There must be times when you sacrifice. You can't succeed in life without giving. You must be willing to sacrifice much more. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews 5:8, it says, though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Jesus went to the cross for me and you. He didn't suffer because he was a sinner. No, he suffered for us sinners. The Bible says he didn't commit any sin, but for our sake he gave himself. If you are going to succeed, you need to sacrifice for others as well. Yes, you have to give. Jesus has to give himself so that we can be given to him. What have you given that is worth? Most of the time, sometimes we used to ask people, can you give us clothes so that we can give the needy? People will give clothes that don't fit them. They give old clothes that they themselves don't like. Then you have not started to give. Listen, if we are saying we are giving clothes, we want these ones that you are putting on, the Sunday ones. Because they look good. Am I right? If they look good on you, don't you think they'll look good on others? Huh? I see you are not happy. Lamentation chapter 3:27. It says, it is good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. Listen, if you learn now, you will not suffer tomorrow. Most people never learn. And therefore, the rest of their life, they go through the vicious cycle of lack. Learn now to sacrifice, to push back gratification, to say, I will not enjoy. Can I give you an example? People who can postpone gratification. You go to the shop and you buy something to eat. And you are going to your flat or to your house. Before you arrive, you are already doing what? You bought a loaf of bread, but before it arrives at home, 2-3 slices are gone. The food that you bought, that you say, I will eat when I get home, you have started to munch it. Listen, we must learn to bear the yoke. It's better to sacrifice now, to start young, to start early, than to wait and hope somebody's going to help you. Number two, perseverance. You must persevere. Even when things seem not to work, don't quit. There are people who never complete what they start. Jesus carried the burden. He carried the cross until in Golgotha. He went on the cross until he gave his spirit. He went to the grave until he became victorious and came out of the grave. He didn't say to God, oh, you know what? I'm done. No. Even yourself, you have to do the same. You have to allow. You see, to persevere, sometimes people look down on you. Things don't work. You start a business, it fails. You start another one, it fails. Don't give up. Your vision might be too early. It might not be the right season for it. And whatever failure that you have suffered is a stepping stone to your greatness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Remain focused, consistent as a shepherd. Remain consistent. Your cell will grow. Yes, your people don't come. They tell you, they have all excuses. The schools are closing. They finished writing exams now. You'll be at the cell like this. And nobody's showing up. Don't give up. Don't say it's not working. Yeah, don't say it's not working. It's working. It's not that you don't see. You see, when a child is growing in the womb, we don't know. We don't see. But something's happening. It's a miracle, this thing. And one day, pop, the child comes out and everybody's shocked. Oh, was there a child? Yes, there was. You know, in my parents' neighbor was, you know, they had a daughter. The daughter was pregnant, but she was a very full figure lady. And they never knew. The parents never knew. Nobody knew. It's a true story. And one day they were called. She was going to work. And then pains. Fortunately, they were passing in front of a hospital, so they dropped her by the hospital. They called my mother. They said, are you aware? So-and-so has a child. Because we had a phone. My mother ran to tell the neighbor, hey, by the way, your child has a child. I said, what? Why did he become pregnant? He was pregnant all along. May the Lord have mercy. May you not surprise us, please. This is why some children, we call them what? Surprise. You must find out if the person is called surprise. Just find out. Why do they call you surprise? It's because they arrived without being expected. Persistence and longevity are the key for our breakthrough. You must refuse any form of discouragement. You must be a persistent person. As a young person, to succeed, you must refuse opposition. Every time you come with an idea, people will always oppose it. People will always tell you, no, why don't you do it this way? Don't always take advices. Sometime you need to stick to the. Paul says, he went to Jerusalem and he was not afraid of the apostles. And he told them, and even Peter, he has confronted Peter one time for the things that he was convicted and convinced that God wanted him to do. Nehemiah refused to be discouraged in the midst of discouragement. When Sanballat and Tobiah were attacking him, he remained focused. Listen, as a young person, there are a lot of things that will oppose you. One, your color will oppose you. Just being black is a problem. We have a relative who was at vets, who passed so well. And after the person passed, they brought the doctors, the powerful, you know, he was a science student. They write a new test for him. And they sat around to watch him write. He got 98, and then he wrote a new test. He got 100%. With all the opposition. Now, it's a true story. It happened here in South Africa in the 70s. He was forced to leave because he knew, I'm not going to graduate here. It was no longer about his abilities. It was about how he looked. I'm going to tell somebody. Listen, opposition is everywhere. Make the decision, I'm a winner. Even when I got a zero, I'm a winner. Because a zero, if I add one, is 10. So you are not far. You are somewhere already. Is that five? Refuse to be discouraged. Nehemiah, his work was so much, and people were consistently fighting against what he was doing, and he made the decision, I'm not going to allow it. So you must always persist to break through. Number three, you must be a servant. Have a spirit of servanthood. Anyone who's not willing to serve is not going to succeed. The good story is the prodigal son's story. That because he didn't understand, he thought his father's success is his success. And most of us, specifically middle class children, you are thinking the wealth of your parents is yours. And then you'll be shocked that in your arrogance, you'll soon fail. So be willing to be a servant. Have a spirit of servanthood. In the church, we make people work. The church, before I became a pastor, I worked. I used to win souls. I had my team. We used to go and win souls. We almost weekly, we worked. I was a youth minister. Every Sunday, I stayed. I worked. This is why we say, the greatest servant, you don't have to be known to serve. In worship team here, they want to be known. Give me the money. No one can. No one can. God might not be receiving your praises. Because it's in Discord, isn't it? We are watching. No. My next break might come. Sean Peace in the church. My breakthrough is here in Jesus' name. Sean P didn't see you. He saw somebody else. Listen, the people who serve, most of the time, they're going to lead. You see, when people serve, they take away self-ambition. Why people fail is because they allow self-ambition. Everybody believes he's got a vision. That's rubbish. There's only one vision, and that's the kingdom. Any other vision, your job, everything that you do, our doctors, all that they do supports the work of the kingdom. If your work doesn't support the work of the kingdom, you are going to fail. You'll write like Steve Jobs. If I remembered, I would have come with the last 10 words of well-known scientists and people that you know, that the world is following their wisdom. We'll give you the last words and say, this is what he said before he died. Their wisdom came to nothing. It's only arrogance that speaks most of the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When we die, all of us are going to be buried. You're going to be dust. Even if they cover you in gold. You can go to the mummies of Egypt. They are dust. Covered in gold. We hold them like a piece of paper. Your spirit is important. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can tell your neighbor, be a servant. Yeah. If you serve, you'll be lifted up. If you remain humble, you'll be lifted up. If you are arrogant, we hold some keys. There are keys we hold. And some of us know, I hold a key. If I give him, he will destroy the work. He will spoil everything that we are doing. So we will not give him the key. You will leave here, go and want your own key there. You'll come back because there's only one key. There are not too many. The prodigal son, after he left, He came back. And when he came back, he was more now a willing servant to serve. He said to his father, you know what? Don't pay me. Because before he left, if they send him for a cup of coffee, he's asking, how much? How much? Eh? Even in the church, when people play keyboard, they say, pay me first. I ask them, are you born again or not? Do you love Jesus or not? Can you imagine? I've been preaching for so many years and nobody paid me. Bolton. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. It says, not with the eye, don't serve with the eye service as men pleaser. But as a bond servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Be prompt when you are saving. Don't procrastinate. Be agile. Be always willing. Hallelujah. Serve. Let your name be service. Let your name be what?
Service.
Those who don't serve, nobody will serve you. I said, those who don't serve, nobody will serve you. If you serve, you open the door. Somebody was asking, why does it seem everything you do succeed? I say, go back from where I'm coming from. Everywhere I was blessed. I was blessed because I've always served. Praise the Lord. Can you apply back your job that you held before? Will you get it? No, just a journey. It's just an imagination. Do you think if you were to apply to your previous employer, will they take you? Will they be happy to have you? Or they'll say, Satan, get behind me. Jesus was speaking and he said, Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So as a believer, you must redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be a person of precision. Be like the sons of Issachar. The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the time. Jesus has understanding of the time. When the Father says, who will go for us? Jesus says, I will go. I will die on the cross. Sons of Issachar, the Bible tells us, they knew the seasons and the time. As a young person, you must know the season. There is a time to study. Did you know? Yeah, there is a time to study. Some people are thinking, you just have matric and you don't want to go to school. Listen, 3 years is not too far. But there's going to be a time, 3 years is going to be too far. You'll wish I could go back to school, but time will not allow you. Listen, education is the greatest inheritance any parent can give a child. We can give you a house, can leave you with money, you might destroy yourself. But with education, you can generate and make your own. Am I telling somebody? Your season to go to school might be now. Last week, I said, your season to get married. I can tell you when you are going to get married. You get more proposal between 18 and 25. A long stream of line of boys. Everybody saying you are pretty, you are nice. But you are being proposed by a boy from our church. You know, he's an A1 brother. He doesn't want sex from you. He wants to marry you. I see, my brother, you are very happy. I'm wondering, who have you proposed? After a certain age, all the good men are married. Yes. Your proposal, they will come. A brother in the church will say, sister, I'm in a yaktand. You look at him, you realize his jeans are too long. He's been stepping on them. You look at him and say, this one is not serious. That's how some of us wear. My wife had to tell me, cut your pants. Put on this, put on that. But after that age, 30, 35, there are very few brothers who are still holding on. Those who are paying black tax, you know black tax. They were helping their brothers to go to school, building a house for their mother, because we have nothing. Then after he finishes, then that the brother can say, oh, my sister, I love you. I've been waiting. Because a man of 30-something, you must ask him, where have you been? What do you think? You have to ask him. He's old. Where have you been? Somebody was getting married. The garnishee orders on the pay slip. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I said to the girl, if I was you, I disconnect now. I said, this one is looking for support. You are not marrying him to support you. You are marrying this man to support him. Because the money that was left was too small. He's looking. This one is looking for accommodation. You must know the season and the time. As a young person, you should know there is a time certain things won't work. There is a time certain things won't work. There is a time when certain things will start working. So, for now, when the opportunity, the door is open, you must not always close the door. Hallelujah. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Sister, are you listening? All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. The Bible says the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Even now, there is a season in your life to do something. But sometimes people will miss that part. You know, building has a season. There is a season to build. There is a season to own your own house. When that season has passed, there isn't much you can do. Praise the Lord. You will soon be destitute because you used all your strength in other things. So you have to understand there is a season and a time for certain things. Hallelujah. And the Bible says they were at their command. Their people were at their command. So you need to understand, you need to follow yourself. Everybody must have a leader. You must be in the cell. Somebody must speak into your life. Is that fine? I like this part of the church. You are saying amen. These others, I don't know. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. Before we pray, for the brothers, 2 Timothy 2:22. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Okay, that's Proverbs 31, verse 3 and 4. We are talking about flee lustful lusts. Proverbs 31, verse 3 and 4, it says, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lumanuel. It's not for kings to drink wine. Yeah. Don't be a drunkard. No, for princesses, intoxicating drink. Hallelujah. I heard somebody saying, no, you can drink wine. You are far from Africa. This is Europe, you know. This is Europe. Here we drink wine when we eat. I say, you see, I'm not Greek and I'm not French. Yeah, I'm not Greek and I'm not French. I don't drink wine because it makes people to lose their mind. No, that's what the Bible says. Yes, it's not. I'm a king. It's not for kings to drink intoxicating drink. I must always be sober. So I say, I take my position seriously. For you, you are fine. Once in a while, you can get up, but not me. Is that fine? Is that fine? Can you tell your neighbor, it's not for kings to be drunk? Yes, substance abuse. Can we bow our heads together? Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want you to pray for yourself that God will help us to be consistent, to have courage, to flee youthful lusts, to be willing to sacrifice our life, to be persistent and always willing to serve, regardless of our position and status in the nation. Can we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We pray for ourselves. Have mercy on us. Show kindness to us. So, Father, we plead for our own life that, Lord, may you give us the strength to always be servant, to serve faithfully, to give our life fully to you. I pray, Father, even this day, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, turn our hearts towards you. Show kindness, O Father, that, Lord, we may be able to build strongly. Your ways, the sons of Issachar knew the seasons and the times. Lord, we pray for ourselves that we may know the season and the times. We thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus. While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. God has a good plan for your life. God wants to prosper you. God wants to show kindness to you. I want to pray together with you. If you are here today and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to make right with God. I want to pray together with you. If you are that person, to say, I want God to give me a second chance, another opportunity to experience a good life, another opportunity that my sins may be forgiven, that I may start again afresh. The Bible says, and all those who received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God. Today, regardless of how you feel, what you have done, the love of God is able. The blood of Jesus was shed for us, that our sins may be forgiven, that we may be children of God. So I want to pray together with you. If you are here, you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. Just lift up your hand wherever you are seated and we'll pray together.
Thank you for joining us with Apostle Vincent Luarte. For more life-transforming messages, connect with us on Twitter at ECCRSA and our YouTube channel at Emmanuel Christian Church HOJ.